So when my employee left, she gave her 2-week notice and she left. I was back with no employees. Now, that's really, like, I'm just going to be super honest with you. This is a bad business model. Like, the clinic runs well. The med spa does really well when someone's there. But when no one is there, it does not go well. That means I have to go do it. So it doesn't give me much security because I have created a practice that's completely dependent on one person. Kind of like your business, right? If you were to get sick or have to move, or you had an ill family member and you were like, I got to go, what would happen? Who would take your patients? Who would step in? Welcome to The Clinical Entrepreneur, a business podcast that's dedicated to healthcare practitioners just like you who are hustling every day to build a business and a life you're proud of. Join me, Rhonda Nelson, as I share my own experiences and extract actionable advice from industry experts about what it takes to build and scale a profitable wellness practice. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to the podcast. How are you today? I am recording this from my home in Las Vegas. I'm so happy to be back. Some of you know I recently got called back to my Seattle med spa. I had an employee turnover situation, and so I had to go back. So I'm now living most of the time in Seattle again. But what that has allowed me, which is exactly what I want to talk about on the podcast today, what that has allowed me to do, whether I like it or not, is look deeper at what's not working. And what I mean by that is that, you know, sometimes how your practice just kind of goes along, right? You're doing your thing. You think everything is working fine until it doesn't. And then at that moment when it doesn't work anymore and you think, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, everything was going along so smoothly and it was all seemed all perfect. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out and you're stuck either missing an employee, which is my situation, or it might be that patients aren't returning. Maybe they were coming back more frequently and now all of a sudden they're like ghosting you and they're not coming back. Whatever the pain point is in your practice, I want you to think about that. Like I talked about a bit ago with Dr. Katie Malley, we were talking about, you know, what is that thing that's that irritant in your shoe? It's the piece of sand or the sticker in your shoe that every time you walk, it's like, ah, this is not working. But you don't really want to do anything about it, or you can't do anything about it, or you don't know what to do about it. And so it just kind of keeps not working. And you hope that if you just put a Band-Aid over it, or maybe just rearrange your sock a little bit or walk a little different in your shoe, you won't feel it as much. And that's exactly what happens in so many of our businesses, is that we've got these little wiggly, niggly things that we know aren't working right, but we either don't know what to do about it, or we just kind of go on ignore. And that's kind of what I did. And I know better. So when my employee left, she gave her 2-week notice and she left. I was back with no employees. Now, that's really, like, I'm just going to be super honest with you. This is a bad business model. Like, the clinic runs well. The med spa does really well when someone's there. But when no one is there, it does not go well. That means I have to go do it. So it doesn't give me much security because I have created a practice that's completely independent on one person. Kind of like your business, right? If you were to get sick or have to move, or you had an ill family member and you were like, I got to go, what would happen? Who would take your patients? Who would step in? Well, in my case, it had to be me. But in your case, maybe an associate practitioner, maybe, you know, you have a friend who's a chiropractor down the street and she can start taking some of your, you know, patients that way, but it's really disruptive. And so what I want to talk to you about today is how to do what I am calling for you all a do-over day. Are you ready? So I'm going to walk you through this process. We're going to call it a do-over day. Now in Clinical Business Academy, we call it something else, but for all practical purposes, we're going to call it a do-over day. So if you can, I want you to go grab a paper and a pencil or jot some of these things down if you're not driving, of course. And I'm going to walk you through how to do what I call a do-over day. Now, the purpose of doing this is to reevaluate something that's working and not working. Okay, so we're going to look at it not from the glass half empty, like, oh, I could say, oh, woe is me. I lost my employee and now I have to go live in Seattle again. But I'm really not thinking about it like that. I'm thinking about it like a do-over day. Like, okay, well, what do I need to do differently? So on your piece of paper, what I want you to do is at the top, I just want you to write down what I'm looking deeper at. Okay, we're not making anybody right or wrong here. We're just going to be in the state of curiosity. We'll call it that. So we're just going to be curious. So I want you to just write down at the top what I'm looking deeper at. Okay, what is the situation? What's the sticker in your shoe? We're not making any changes. We're not doing anything. We're just going to just pretend that we could have a do-over day. So our do-over, what is it going to look like? What am I going to look deeper at? Well, for me, I'm going to be looking at my do-over day with my employee, this situation that I have that has caused me to have to go back to Seattle for a little few months. So first column, you have four columns on your paper. You may want to turn it landscape just so you have more room to write. The first column, the left-hand column, I want you to write down what worked. Hey, what was working? In your business, you're probably not the same situation as mine, but let's say the sticker in your shoe is that patients are not coming back in for their follow-up appointments, or they're ghosting you, or you're maybe not getting referrals, or whatever it might be. Maybe you lost a staff member too, like your front desk person. But think about whatever that thing is that you want to just be curious about and dig a little deeper, the sticker in your shoe. So in that left-hand column, I want you to write down what worked. Okay, what was really great about what was working? When it was working, what was really awesome about it? Well, for me, what worked was I have an employee in Seattle and she was like running everything on the day-to-day basis. It allowed me to be able to live at my home in Las Vegas and be able to come forth to support her in that business. So that worked really well for me. It worked well for me that I had that extra income coming in because I had someone working in the business. I didn't have to do it. So it allowed me to have income. There was some other, you know, benefits that kind of went along with that. So there were definitely some things that were working. Now, the next column, I want you to write down what didn't work. Okay, what didn't work? Well, I probably have kind of a long list of things. And because this is a podcast and I don't want anybody to think bad about, you know, anybody who worked for me or anything, but I could, looking back now, because remember, we're doing a do-over day. We're just doing a do-over. Maybe we call it a do-over exercise. But I think back and think, okay, well, what didn't work? Well, what didn't work was maybe the way that there was communication. I didn't have a good system in for regular communication. That didn't work. What else didn't work was that it was just a one-person office. And when you have an extrovert in a one-person office, the extrovert doesn't like that, right? They're lonely. They don't like being alone. That didn't work. So, you know, I could write down all the things. So I want you to do the same thing. Write down the things that didn't work. So the first column on the left is what did work about your sticker in your shoe situation. The next column is what didn't work. Okay. Now we just have what did, what didn't. We're not making anything right or wrong. We're just being very objectively observant about the situation, the sticker. The third column, I want you to write down what you would do differently next time. Okay, so this is, if you could do it over again, and I'm not saying you have to. In my case, I am doing it over again because she's gone. So now I'm going to recreate the business. But that's because I did this exercise. So I'm kind of walking you through what I did. So in the third column, you're going to write down what you would do differently next time. So let's just say it has to do with patient follow-ups for you. For patient follow-ups, what would you do differently next time? Would you make sure that they scheduled before they left your office? Maybe. Would you make them pay ahead or put a deposit down for that appointment? That could be a possibility. Maybe you want to do that. Maybe you, instead of having them do one-off follow-up appointments, maybe next time you might say, well, I think I want to put it all in like a package kind of a thing. So it's like a 3-month program or a 3-month package so that it's already paid for up front if the reason they're not rescheduling is financial. Maybe they're not following up and rescheduling because it's just you. Now, this could be painful. So don't be mad. Don't shoot the messenger here. But maybe it's too hard to get a hold of you. Maybe when they call, it only goes to voicemail and they have a question before they want to schedule and they need to find out a time and you don't have anything on your scheduler, or maybe your online scheduler doesn't work. Maybe the link is broken. So you got to kind of look like, what would you do differently next time? So if it's because the patients haven't been able to get a hold of you, okay, well, maybe could you hire somebody to answer the phone for you when it rings and pay them, you know, $25 a day to answer the phone if it doesn't ring too much? Maybe, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up and thinking about that situation. For me, in my med spa situation, what I would do differently next time is I would not, and am not, I'm recreating this, and I was already kind of thinking this way, and then my employee left, but I need at least 2, maybe 3 people. So that way, when somebody's out, the whole place doesn't shut down. That's one thing. What I would do differently next time is I would make sure that there is more overlap between the technicians so that there's some camaraderie that happens. And then the third thing, big thing that I would do differently next time is I would take away some of the responsibilities from that position and delegate that out to a virtual assistant, because they were tasks that that position didn't need to be doing. And I was already in process of doing that. I was just a little bit late and the employee just decided to go work somewhere else, closer to home, that as well. So that's okay. But this just gives me an opportunity to say, okay, what would I do differently next time? Well, in this case, these are 3 of the things that I'm going to do differently. So now that's your third column. The fourth column, this one is so important. The fourth column is when you write down, what are your non-negotiables for your new situation? What are the non-negotiables? I mean, these are things that you would get out of the bathtub, dripping wet, shampoo in your eyes, and say, I'm going to die on this hill. This is a non-negotiable for me in this situation. Non-negotiable. Well, what might that be? If it has to do with your follow-up, your patient follow-ups in this case, what is a non-negotiable for you? Maybe a non-negotiable for you is that they don't go longer than 4 weeks, period. That's it. And if they go longer than 4 weeks, then you fire them. I mean, that sounds a little harsh, but you understand my point. Maybe that's a non-negotiable for you. Maybe another non-negotiable for you is that they, I don't know, what has to do with supplements, that they only order them through your practice, or you have to decide. Maybe they can't cancel within 3 days. Maybe that's a non-negotiable for you. So as it has to do with that situation, not your whole business, we're not doing a do-over day or a do-over, you know, reconstruct for every little thing in your business. But when something's not working, and if you could say, okay, look, if I could do this all over again, like I'm thinking about with my med spa, if I could do this all over again, what would I do different? What would I look deeper at? What would I do different? Well, we look at what's working and then we look at what didn't work. And that's usually pretty easy to identify. What I might do differently next time. Sometimes we get limited by the nose. In other words, you know, the protective part of your brain wants to say, oh, well, you can't do that. Or someone else told you, oh, you can't do that. That'll never work. That just won't work. Of course you can't do that. And sometimes knowing what you would do differently next time, I know this is going to sound crazy. Well, it probably won't sound crazy to you because you guys are all crazy with me anyway. But I think sometimes we get the best insight about what's possible when we are out hugging trees and we're walking on the ground and we are connecting with nature. We're getting that nice deposit of electrons. We're opening up those energy pathways. The meridians are working well. The chakras are open. Like all of the energetic part of the body is working well. Sometimes that's when your most creative things happen. I mean, I suppose you could do some mushrooms or something and you could get creative that way and that floats your boat. But nonetheless, you have to be willing to be open to something that seems impossible. And I'm going to tell you in a minute what I'm going to do that seems impossible to me, but I'm going to try it. And I will tell you that in a minute about my med spa. So then we want to think like, okay, be creative. Oh, but think outside the box. What would it look like if, what if I could have it this way? Well, maybe it is impossible, but you don't know till you think about it. And the last thing is, what are your non-negotiables? What are the things that you say, look, no matter what, these are the things that I'm a die on the hill. I'm not going to tolerate this. So for me, the non-negotiables for me, at least in the med spa, absolutely 100%, you have to be there 30 minutes before the patient appointment. Don't care. Don't care. If there's traffic and you know there's going to be traffic, because in Seattle, there's always traffic. If you know there's going to be traffic, then you better leave 30 minutes before you think you're going to be able to be there. Because it is a non-negotiable for you to not be there 30 minutes before the appointment, period. I will die on that hill. And that allows you to prep the room and get all the ready and, you know who you've got and get the notes and review the notes and all that. So there's that. That's a non-negotiable for me. Another non-negotiable for me is that at the end of the day, everything is back exactly how it needs to be for the next person that comes in the next morning. And all the charting and paperwork is done at the end of the day, period. Nothing is left over. That is a hill I'm going to die on, period. Now, you might say, oh, geez, she's talking to me. I haven't done my charting for 2 months. Well, listen, if that's not a hill you want to die on, fine. It's just my hill. So you got to pick your hills, right? These are the non-negotiables that you are not willing to give up. You're not willing to let go. So now you have your four columns. You have your what worked, what didn't work, what you would do differently next time, just hypothetically, and then what your non-negotiables are. Now you're going to take that list and then you're going to rewrite the situation. This is when you get to write a system in your business. So there might be a system for follow-ups or a system for new patients. Maybe something's not working with your new patient flow. Maybe something's not working with the way that you are ordering supplements. That's a sticking point. I'm going to have to do another one of these for that because that is a sticking point. And I know if it's a sticking point for me, it's a huge sticking point for you too. So I'm thinking about that. We have it partly solved, but not all the way solved. And I don't like it when it's not all the way solved. So that's another one, probably a podcast for later. But then you want you to rewrite it. Okay, now in your perfect scenario, what does this look like? What is the perfect thing in this situation? Follow-up appointments, new patient appointments, supplements, whatever your sticker is in your shoe. So now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do that's different. I've never, ever seen this done in the med spa industry. So just to kind of paint a picture for you, and I think this might be relevant for some of you. In the med spa space, there's always, you know, these big, beautiful med spas, and they spend like, you know, $500,000 decorating out the inside of their spa. And it's got the lights and the music and the waterfalls and all the pretty gold and the sparkling things and all that. That is not me. I'm not a blingy person. Just not. My med spa is very small, very boutique, very small, 850 square feet. And we have three treatment rooms and a small little front office and a little storage room with a sink and another storage room that's a closet. That's it. Can fit three chairs, a table, and a desk in the waiting area. That's it. It's very small, but I love it that way. Like, it's my style. It's my brand. It's what I love. Now, most of these med spas will have a receptionist at the front desk. And that receptionist is like, hello, Mary, welcome in. It's so just like you have a front desk person, right? Welcome in, blah, blah, blah. Take your money, check you out, check you in, put you in the back, put you in a little pretty robe. All the med spa feels, not my jam. So we get in, get it done, and get out. We're like the executive med spa for executives. Get in, get your treatment, and then get out. So for me, having a receptionist is like, I don't really have room. B, I don't want to pay somebody to sit around and not be as busy as I want them to be. Like, I want them performing and doing work. So I was having the technician do the receptionist work. Does it make sense? So I was having my esthetician answer the phones, follow up on emails, take payment, create invoices, do all the things. And I realized that that was a sticking point. I just hadn't figured out how to solve it. But what I'm going to do, and this is me thinking about what I would do differently next time. I'm just being open. And let me tell you, I'll tell you if this doesn't work or if it does work. But what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to hire a virtual receptionist. I don't know of a med spa that does it that way because all the med spas are like, well, hello. You know, somebody up there all dressed cute, young girl, you know, all cute and everything. Not my thing. It's a non-negotiable for me to hire someone to just sit there all day. And besides, they'll quit because they get bored. So I'm going to hire a virtual receptionist. And what this virtual receptionist is going to do, see, I've already done this do-over day. I've already done what you're doing. And what my virtual receptionist is going to do is answer the phone virtually, which she can do. She's going to tally up all the receipts for the day. She's going to create the invoices. She's going to follow up on the leads that are coming in. She's going to make sure she's texting them, getting them in, getting them scheduled, following up if they canceled, getting them rescheduled. She's going to do all of that admin maintenance type work for the practice. And the reason this is so great is because then the technicians have more time to generate the revenue. So now my med spa techs, my estheticians, can see the patient, go in, do the treatment, come out, get them out the door. Next patient, come in. And I'm not a puppy mill. Like, I don't want to do it that way. But you understand my point. Otherwise, they're spending 15 to 20 minutes doing all that paperwork. So I'm dividing and conquering. So I'm going to divide out. I'm going to give away some of those responsibilities to the virtual receptionist. And then I'm going to let my techs do what they're really good at. So how do you feel about that in your practice? Is there something in your practice that you could delegate like this to a virtual receptionist or a virtual assistant of some kind that frees you up as the technician? Just like I've got the techs in the med spa, you're kind of like the tech in your business, right? You're the doctor, you're the provider. So what do you need to farm out, so to speak, and give to somebody else so that you can see one or two or three more people in a day? And you're not stuck behind a front desk invoicing and following up and returning phone calls. Like, really, if you set the system up right, someone else can do that for you. There should not be a problem with that at all. So that's where I'm at. That's my really honest story. I am back in Seattle doing the thing again because I just needed to do another do-over day. I needed to figure out how to fix the problem. This is the second time this has happened to me. The last time I was there almost 2 years. This time it won't be so much. I've actually hired 2 techs and 2 estheticians. So I'm very excited about that. Now my next hire is to hire this virtual receptionist. So maybe in the future, I'll do another podcast about how this whole virtual receptionist thing is going. I'm very clear about how good it is to work with virtual assistants. But you have to remember, virtual assistants are kind of behind the scene, right? They're helping me directly or someone on the team. This virtual receptionist is being the front face of the business. They're the like, hey, welcome. You know, they're that person. I've never done this part before, like this in a med spa environment. So I'm interested to see how this is going to go. If this was helpful for you, will you please just shoot me an email? Send it to support@rhondanelson.com and let me know what you think. And if you email me, I will send you the worksheet for the do-over day. I will actually send you a worksheet and then you have something to work from. But just email me, support@rhondanelson.com. Let me know what you think. Like, yes, this was resonated, or no, I think you're off your rocker. It's okay if you think that. I still love you. We can still be friends. So anyway, have an awesome day. Don't forget, if you are really in a situation where you're tired of struggling, feeling overwhelmed, alone, embarrassed, all the things about where your business is at, and you're just ready to grow and you're ready to make more money and you're ready to serve more people and you're ready for your business to work more efficiently, to be streamlined with systems and things that make it work better and more efficiently, like a well-oiled machine, rather than you always having to put out the fires. There's one problem and another problem and another problem. Clinical Business Academy is where you need to be. So go to rhondanelson.com/CBA. You can get all the details. You can sign up, enroll, and we can get you turned around, my friend. I promise. This is what I am good at. I grew a 7-figure business, a 7-figure practice all by myself, meaning I had 2 employees and I had me. And I got over 7 figures and I was the only one generating money. I know you can do this. I got you. I know how to do this. So you want to grow that really successful practice at whatever level you want. You may not want to get to 7 figures. You may want 5-6 figures. Fine. Same difference. We can get you to wherever you need to be in a way that's easy, no stress, systemize your business, put those things in place that make the business do the work, and you get to do what you love, kind of like what we're talking about here, and then we delegate the rest. So rhondanelson.com/CBA. Otherwise, hit me up. Let me know what you think about this do-over day. I'll be interested to hear. And then we'll send you the resource if you send the email, support@rhondanelson.com. All right, friends, have a great week. I'll see you next week.